Thank you for watching that video. I encourage you, if you have any questions for me after the service, I'd love to try and answer those for you. You can just stop by our table. And we have prayer card. Our daughter, who will be 2 in July, her name is Juliana. And we have another baby on the way, due in October. And not sure if it's a boy or a girl yet, but we're excited about that. And we're church planters to Arabic-speaking people here in the United States. God has called us to start an Arabic Baptist church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's where my wife is from, and we'll talk a little bit more a little bit later about Philadelphia and about Islam, but I'll just show the video at this time. It's about a little over 9 minutes long, and you'll get to meet my wife and daughter through the video, but we'll watch that, and then I'll say a few things about Islam and about Philadelphia, and then we'll look into the Word of God tonight.
What is the first thought that comes to your mind when you hear the word Arab? Does it cause your mind to think of deserts, camels, or turbans? Does your mind immediately picture war, terrorism, riots, or Islam? Maybe your mind is filled with images from September 11th, 2001, when the World Trade Center was tragically attacked. Most of our thoughts concerning the Arab people are based upon recent happenings and current events unfolding before our eyes around the world. And though these thoughts have truth in them, I believe as Christians, we've neglected to see and think of the Arab people as God sees and thinks of them. What comes into God's mind when he hears the word Arab? What does he see when he looks down upon them? I believe he sees a people steeped in false religion, led astray by the multitudes to a place called hell. He sees a people for whom he sent Jesus Christ to die. He sees a people who have his word, the Bible, in their language. He sees a people who have been forgotten by believers for years. He sees a people who desperately need Christ. Though you or I might have a bias or prejudice toward a certain people, God does not. There is no respect of persons with God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Arab people are included in that whosoever. Therefore, they must be reached with the gospel of Christ.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Islam is on the rise and growing every day. There are well over 1 billion Muslims around the world today, with approximately 4 to 10 million in the United States alone. Undoubtedly, there is a need for the gospel of Christ to be heard by Muslims near and far. We, the Town family, have recognized this great need and have heard the call of God upon our lives to do our part in reaching Muslims for Christ by being missionary church planters to Arabic-speaking people here in the United States.
Hello, my name is Joanna Town. I grew up in Rockledge, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia. On July 21st, 1985, I was born into a godly Christian family. My parents, along with my 5 siblings, faithfully attended Calvary Baptist Church of Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. I received Christ as my Savior when I was 16 years old, after having doubts about a profession of faith I made as a young girl. A few months later, I was baptized, and from then on, I began to truly grow in the Lord. I attended Ambassador Baptist College and graduated with a secretarial degree in 2007. I was married to Joshua in June of 2010, and on July 21st, 2011, the Lord gave us our first child, Juliana Rose. I'm excited to see how the Lord will use our family in his service.
Hello, my name is Joshua Town. I was born in Berlin, Vermont on July 19th, 1988. The Lord blessed me with Christian parents who loved me dearly and cared for my spiritual well-being. Though I was not a member of a good Baptist church growing up, my parents placed me in a Bible-teaching Christian school from kindergarten through 12th grade. Here I heard the gospel and was taught the Bible. Just as my wife, I received Christ as my Savior when I was 16 years old, after having doubts about a profession I had made at a young age. A few months later, I was immersed by Pastor James Lake and became a member of Bible Baptist Church of Berlin, Vermont. After serving at Bible Baptist, I surrendered for the Lord's service, and eventually, through much prayer, the Lord led me to attend Ambassador Baptist College in Lattimore, North Carolina. Here I trained for the ministry, and here the Lord called me to be a church planter among Arabic-speaking people. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in Bible and Missions in May of 2010, and 1 month later I began a pastoral apprenticeship program under Pastor Jim Martin of Calvary Baptist Church in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania.
Josh and Joanna have been active and faithful members here at Calvary. In fact, Josh just finished a 15-month full-time ministry apprenticeship, and in doing so has proven himself a hard-working, gifted servant who I can heartily recommend to you. We're thrilled to have Josh and Joanna as our church's first missionaries sent from our church, and we'd ask you to consider partnering with us in this endeavor. Would you pray for them as they seek to get to this needy field? It takes both prayer and financial support, so I ask that you would consider Josh and Joanna Towne in your church's Great Commission outreach.
We believe that God's plan for this dispensation is carried out in and through local New Testament churches. Therefore, we are sent out by Calvary Baptist Church of Elkins Park, Pennsylvania. We have also chosen to partner with Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions of Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Our goals for the field are fourfold. Our first goal is to learn the Arabic language fluently. Although we could remain in the United States to learn Arabic, we have chosen, after our support is raised, to move to a Middle Eastern country, specifically the country of Lebanon, for our language studies. The reason we have chosen this route is so that we might immerse ourselves not only in the Arabic language, but in the Arabic culture as well. While living in the Middle East, we will not only be learning Arabic, but we will also have the opportunity to serve and learn how to minister to Arabic-speaking people from an experienced pastor of an established Arabic Baptist church. Our second goal is to move back to the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to begin the work of planting an Arabic Baptist church. Our third goal is a long-term goal of training leaders to train others. Once the church has been planted and established with many faithful families, with the Lord's direction, we will train a faithful man in the Word of God to become the pastor of the church. Once that man has been trained, we will hand the church over to him, and we will move to another section of the same city or to a completely different city to start another Arabic Baptist church. Our fourth goal is also a long-term goal. We plan to periodically travel to the Middle East and North Africa to help in the training of national pastors. These national pastors will then go forth and start local churches in needy areas all over the Middle East and North Africa. We will work under a veteran missionary named Edgar Fagali, who has much experience in training godly men and starting local churches in this neglected part of the world.
As probably many of us know, there are 9 million Arabic-speaking people who immigrated already to the United States, with thousands of mosques being built all over the country. One of the cities where Arabs from all over the Muslim world have immigrated to is Philadelphia. I do not know of any independent Baptist work in Philadelphia that reaches the Arabic people, and Brother Josh will be doing the job for the Lord in that city. Brother Josh also will be working with our ministry. Our ministry is called Middle East and African Partnership, and we minister in most of the Arab countries, and eventually Brother Josh and his family will be joining us and in helping us in teaching and reaching several Arab countries also with the gospel. I highly recommend him and urge you, Pastor and Church, members to vote and support him so that he will be able to achieve that task and reach those people who are immigrating to our country in America to reach them with the word of God.
We are so excited to do the will of God for our lives. The need in the Arabic-speaking world is great, and we pray that you would consider helping us so that together we might reach this forgotten people for the glory of God.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
Dr. Edgar Fagali, many of you know him, and Pastor Milad as well has been here. Those are two guys that we're going to be working together with, and we thank the Lord so much for them, because without us knowing them, we wouldn't know where to go in the Middle East. We wouldn't know what to do, and Edgar Fagali has helped us all along the way. He's the one that's recommended that we go to Lebanon and be with Pastor Milad in his church there as we learn Arabic. So we're so thankful for them, and I noticed on your support, missionary support map back there, that you've supported Dr. Fagali since 1984. And that's great to see. And just appreciate him and his ministry so much. Before I get into the message, just want to speak a little bit about Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where we're going to be starting this church, and then just a little bit about Islam as well. Philadelphia is the fifth largest city in our country. There's approximately 1.6 million people in Philadelphia, and the metropolitan area is about 6 million people. So there's a great number of people just in that area. And people ask me, well, how many Arabic-speaking people are there? And it's hard to put an exact number. But there's anywhere from 25,000 to into the hundreds of thousands of Arabic-speaking people just in Philadelphia. If you stop by our table, there's an article there from a local newspaper that talks about Islam in the city of Philadelphia, and it says that there are roughly 50 mosques in Philadelphia alone. 50. And if you know the northeast of our country, you know New England and that area, that there's not many good churches there, and there's way less than 50 good churches in Philadelphia, but there are 50 mosques. So uniquely, Islam has made its way into Philadelphia, as it has in many of our cities today. It seems like they start there, and then they spread out from there. So there's a great need in Philadelphia, and as Dr. Fagali mentioned, as far as we know, there's nobody there that believes like we do, that is reaching these Arabic-speaking people with the gospel. So God has called us there to start an Arabic Baptist church, Lord willing, but we're going to be first living in the Middle East, in Lebanon, and we're going to be going to language school there, being in Pastor Milad's church at the same time, and we plan on being there for at least 2 years learning Arabic. Arabic is one of the top three hardest languages to learn, they say, so we plan to be there for 2 years, and then once we become fluent in the language, we'll move back to Philadelphia and begin the work of planting an Arabic Baptist church in Philadelphia. Islam, we hear about it all the time. Islam is a worldwide problem. I didn't know that Syria had declared war on Israel. That's news to me, but every day that we live, it seems like we hear about something going on in the Middle East. Seems like we hear some sort of news about Muslims or Islam somewhere around the world, and it's always before our face, and we hear about it all the time. Islam is a worldwide problem, but it is especially a problem to Western civilization and America. Islam, it's no secret that they hate America. They hate Israel as a belief system. And I just want to read a couple statements from the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. Have we heard of the Muslim Brotherhood in here? If you watch the news, you've probably heard of them. But I just want to read what the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood said. He said, "It is the nature of Islam to dominate, not to be dominated, to impose its law on all nations, and to extend its power to the entire planet." That's Islam's goal as a whole, That's what they want to do. They want to extend their power to the entire planet. They want to impose their law upon everyone. If Islam could have their way tonight, they would want all of us to be Muslims. They would love that to happen. But Islam specifically has a goal and an objective for the United States, and the Muslim Brotherhood has stated it this way. They said, Muslims must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and by the hands of the believers, that's Muslims, so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. That's their goal for America. They said, the work in America is a kind of grand jihad. It's at the top of their list. Israel and America are the ones that they hate the most. And so their work here is at the top of their list. If they wanted to destroy any country, America would be number one to destroy. And they're working every day to do that. We might not see it, but they're working toward that goal. It's no secret that Islam's goal is to dominate the world and to impose Sharia law upon all of us. And that's why Islam is a danger to our country. We have freedom of religion here, and we thank the Lord for that. We would die for that right to keep that freedom. And we welcome any religions to come. But the thing with Islam is that they don't just want to come and worship peacefully. Their end goal is to dominate the world. And their goal is to replace our law, our constitution here in America, with their law, Sharia law. And if you know anything about Europe today, Europe is further down this path of Islam taking over than we are. There are some authors who are writing books about Islam in Europe, and they're calling Europe Eurabia because of the great growth of Islam that's happening over there in Europe. And there are cities in Europe, like London, for example, and there are certain neighborhoods within these cities that are completely dominated by Islam. Everybody that lives in that neighborhood is a Muslim, and they practice Sharia law in that neighborhood. And it's so bad that police officers are afraid to go into these sections of the city where Sharia law rules. You or I could not walk through these neighborhoods without being beaten up or being kicked out because we wouldn't be following their law. And so these pockets of these neighborhoods are happening in a free country in Europe, in cities around Europe. And the thing is, America is not there yet, but we're on the same path. We're on the same path, and that's what we have to wake up to tonight. 10, 15, 20 years from now, we'll have those same neighborhoods in our cities, in our country, if we don't do something today. And so what is the answer to the growth of Islam here in our country and around the world? Some people would say that the answer to the problem of Islam is that we need to go to war with all of these nations. We need to take them over and set up democracy, and that'll solve all of our problems. But we know that's not the answer. Some people would say that we need to write up another peace treaty with all of these nations, and we'll take that peace treaty, we'll sign it, and we'll hand it to them, and they'll sign it. But those peace treaties are always broken. They never last. They've always been broken in the past. And so that's not the answer either. The answer to the problem of Islam and the growth of Islam in our country is that the Muslim person needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the answer. They need their heart to be changed by the power of the gospel of Christ. They need to be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, so that they might receive forgiveness of sins, which only comes through Jesus Christ. And so that's the answer tonight. They need their hearts changed. If we're going to see our country changed for the good, that's the answer. If we're going to see Islam, the growth of Islam suppressed, we're going to need to see Muslims saved. And so that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to do our part in reaching as many Muslims for Christ here in America as we can by first going over to Lebanon and learning Arabic, and then by planting Arabic Baptist churches here in the States. And believe it or not, there are already Arabic Baptist churches here in the States. in other cities. I've been to 4 different Arabic churches that believe just like we do. They preach just like we do. And it's been done before, but Philadelphia, as far as we know, there is not one. And so God has called us there. And so we just ask you to pray for us as we do what God has called us to do. And I just want to say thank you for allowing us to come and be with you tonight. And I just appreciate your prayers for us.